I want to talk to you about faith for miracles. And this is just part one. And we'll go just as long as the Lord says go, and then we'll change directions when He says change. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, this is from the New King James. It says, "And whatever you ask in my name." How many know who my name is talking about? Jesus. "Whatever you ask in Jesus' name," the Bible says, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name," what is those last three words?
I will do it.
Or the last four words, rather. I will do it. When we ask Father God, the Bible says, anything in the name of Jesus, based on His Word. How many know His Word is the important factor here? How many know just because you go sit in the rich district and there's a mansion there and you say, "God, I want that mansion. Would you give me that mansion?" He may, but He may not. But what I know that He will do is He will honor His Word. Amen? What is written in the Bible, God will honor it, which is why it's important for you and I to pray the Word. Now, some theologians have believed that the literal translation of this verse should read, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." It's a very slight variation, but it's very direct, very specific. If you ask anything, Jesus is saying, anything in my name. If you have problems tonight, if you have health issues tonight, if you have financial issues tonight, I mean, I'm telling you, whatever it is, based on the Word of God, amen, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I will do it." Now remember that the name of Jesus is the catalyst. What the catalyst means, how many know that you can have an engine that's on in your car, if you don't have a gas pedal to push on, how many know you're not going to go anywhere? The foot pedal becomes the catalyst. The key can become the catalyst. And so the name of gas can become the catalyst. Jesus, the name of Jesus, is the catalyst that speeds up the process. How many of you say, "God, I want, God, I want, God, I want, God, I want," and get nowhere? Anybody ever cried to God and said, "God, I want, God, I want," and it seemed like nothing was happening? How about stopping a moment and saying, "You know what? I need to use the name of Jesus." How many know the name of Jesus is not just so that you can get what you want, but the name of Jesus is so that God can get what He wants for you to you. Amen? It's the name of Jesus that causes miracles to happen. Now, one area of confusion and division among the church today is this question: what is God's will concerning healing? Some people believe that God might heal you, while others believe that God is willing, but hey, you know, if God's on an off day, you might not get healed. Some ask, does God still heal today? Some believe that God has the ability to heal, but not necessarily the will to heal. How many know it's the will of God to heal? How many know it's the will of God to heal everyone? Some people believe that God just plays favorites and heals one or two every now and then, but He doesn't heal all. And that is not what the Bible says. Amen. And so we need to know this tonight, that God has the power to do anything that we are willing to believe Him for. Amen? Amen? While there's a great deal of confusion among Christian believers today about God's will, the reality is there is a lack of hearing and believing what God says in His Word. You can be a person that says, "Well, Grandma and Grandpa believed it, so it must work for me. Mom and Dad believed it, so it must work for me." But I can assure you that unless you get in the Word of God, you look at the Word of God, get it buried in your heart, see what it says, and you begin to declare it out of your mouth and begin to believe what it says in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you that God's Word will work for you. Miracles are a matter of this: do you believe what God has said in His Word to be the absolute truth? Let's take, for example, the Apostle Paul was praying one time. The Philippian people had given him a certain supply, but predominantly he said, "But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus becomes the catalyst. Christ Jesus becomes the way that my God supplies all my need. But did you know that there actually are believers who do not believe that God supplies all their need? Let me explain that to you. Say that again. You know what's really tough about being a believer is you're required to believe.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Mark chapter 16 says that these signs will follow those who believe. So what happens if someone's born again? You ever heard this expression? Well, I know I'm going to heaven. Probably I'll get there by the skin of my teeth. Number one, teeth don't have skin. Number two, just because some people may barely get there, I don't want to barely get there. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That I did the work of the Lord, that I did what was required of me, I did what He asked me to do. And so, the truth is, we must believe God's Word. But to believe God's Word, we've got to know God's Word. Amen? Now, all around the world, whether it's night here, a lot of times we get messages at home on our phones or our computers from across the country, and they're just waking up, and guess when they want to talk? Early in the morning while we're trying to go to sleep at night. So wherever it is, millions of people around the world are hearing Bible lessons about the Bible, about Jesus, and still do not believe. Why is that? Because sometimes we put our need, I really have a pressing need, and I put that ahead of my willingness to actually believe and declare God's Word. I'm going to explain to you how that works tonight. It's said that, and we studied this in Bible college, this particular phrase, faith begins where the will of God is known. Think about that. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I have faith, and I'm going to show you that every one of you have faith tonight. But I have faith, but until I discover the will of God, it's really difficult for me to release that faith based on His Word in the name of Jesus and see something be produced in my life. We were praying for our sister last night who had a broken tooth in pain. Do you know that when you pray, the Bible said this, lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? The sick will recover. What if the pain doesn't leave right then? Does that mean that healing wasn't released? Of course not. The Bible said you're to lay hands on the sick. You're not the one that heals them. It's God. Amen? And so when we believe God, just because it doesn't come today or tomorrow, doesn't mean you ought to give up and quit. Too many believers have given up because they didn't know how to stand on the Word of God. So faith begins where the will of God is known. So what's the will of God and how do we find out what it is? Do you know what the will of God is? Well, the only way I can tell you that you actually know the will of God is if you know what the Word of God says. Knowing God's Word, I want you to hear this very carefully. Knowing God's Word is the breeding ground for miracles. How many understand breeding ground? Whether it's soil, or whether it's in the womb of a female, whether no matter what the situation is, when a seed is planted and the ground is fertile, something's going to grow. Isn't that right? All right? The Word of God is the breeding ground for miracles in your life. So if the Word of God is the breeding ground and you don't get into the seed of God's Word and plant that seed into the ground of your heart, how many know sometimes miracles just may not happen unless God feels sorry for you, and He don't do a lot of feeling sorry. Why is that? Because Jesus already went to the cross, already rose from the dead, already ascended into the heavens and sat down on the right hand of the Father. Now I want you to listen to this. In the Old Covenant, when an Old Testament priest went into the Holy of Holies and sacrificed for the sins of nations, for a people, do you know that there was no chair in the Old Covenant tabernacle? There was no place for the priest to sit down. And every year they would have to make the same sacrifice for sins again and again and again. Jesus paid one sacrifice for sins for all of humanity and then went and sat down on the right hand of the Father. What a great faithful high priest we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. Amen. Now, I don't have time to take you through scriptures and show you everything I just said, but let's move on tonight. See, I want you to understand tonight that my God is not only able, but my God is willing to do a miracle for you. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I don't only know that my God is able, but my God is willing. How many know it's great to have a willing God? Praise the Lord. There was some lepers that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. It's not in your notes, but let me just tell you this story real quick. And they came to Jesus. The lepers actually knew that Jesus could heal. But they were filled with leprosy, and they weren't supposed to go around anybody, but they carefully approached Jesus, and Jesus was a Jew, and he was ordered to stay away from them. Jewish children are taught by five years old to know all the law. By 5 years old, that's pretty young. And Jesus was a Jewish boy. Jesus knew the law. He knew that he wasn't supposed to go near that leper. But the truth is, Jesus was setting a new path and a new pattern for the new covenant church to be birthed, which took place when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? And then the Holy Ghost came in and ratified the deal in Acts chapter 2. Now, when that leper came to Jesus, he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. I know you're willing, I just don't know if you will do it." You know what Jesus said? He said, "I am willing, be cleansed." He touched him and said, "Be cleansed." How many know he wasn't supposed to talk to him? Wasn't supposed to touch him. And Jesus said, "I am willing." If you translate that out in the original language, you'll find out that Jesus is saying, "It is my will, be healed." And the man was made whole. A few weeks ago, as I was preaching on camera in Pakistan, there was a man there that had a skin disease. And when we prayed, the skin disease fell off and his skin was made completely clean. I just thank God for Jesus that set the example and said, leprosy is supposed to fall off. That kidney problems are supposed to be healed. That blind eyes are supposed to be opened. That deaf ears are to be unstopped. That the cripple are supposed to be made to walk because of the name and the sacrifice of Jesus. How many is getting this tonight? So people will say, "Well, I know God's able, but is he willing?" Well, let me tell you this. My God does not have more than one will. He has only one will. Amen? Because if God, if you, for example, are a person that says God has more than one will, then really what you're saying to me is that God is a schizophrenic. He has multiple personalities or multiple wills. Well, that would mean that my God has a mental illness. And my God's not mentally ill. My God is not schizophrenic. My God does not have a group of psychotic disorders. My God has one will, and his will is healing for all of his people. Let me tell you something else. And if you got any religion in you, I don't mean Christianity, because Christianity and religion are not the same thing. Religion is going through the motions and feeling good about yourself afterwards. Christianity is about God and His family, and it's about being empowered by the grace of God to do the will of God or the Word of God. But let me tell you this. God not only wants the church healed, but God also wants the world healed. Many times we will say, "Well, there goes that heathen. They live for the devil, so why should I pray for them?" I'll tell you why you should pray for them, because Jesus did. Do you know that Jesus never prayed for a Christian? No one was born again till Jesus died and rose from the grave. Everybody prayed that Jesus prayed for and was healed, even by their own faith, their own believing, were heathens or Jews or somebody that was against Jesus Christ the Messiah. And so I want to tell you why Jesus did that. Do you know there came a time later in Jesus' ministry when multitudes followed him everywhere he went? Yes. Sinners, religious people, heathens followed Jesus, and he healed them. He fed them. He ministered to their needs. So let me ask you a question. What's wrong with the church today? Why are we saying, "Well, you know, they're heathens, they don't deserve to be healed"? By your standards or by God's standards? Because the Bible says that God so loved the world, not the church, the world, the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might have everlasting life. It's about everybody. So the church needs to get out of themselves, get rid of our pride, get rid of our stubbornness, and say, you know what? I need to go tell the world about Jesus. Because I want to tell you something. Until this CD is produced and put on our website, until there is video recordings, until the world hears it, by that means, the world's not hearing it tonight. The church is hearing it tonight. And we need to go tell the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I know, we could talk about my encounters at Walmart. We could talk about my encounters at the grocery store. I just love to see people that are having difficulties and pray for them and see God help straighten out their life. Now, the question is this. Are you willing to believe and put your trust in His will? It's not about your will. You say, well, I have an understanding of the Bible. Do you know what? If my understanding of the Bible is wrong or incorrect, God's right and I'm wrong.
Amen.
God's always right, and in that case, I'm always wrong. And so we need to pray and spend time before the Lord, get a revelation of His Word, and then do what His Word says. Praise the Lord. If you are in disagreement with God's Word, then you also would not be in agreement with His will. If you're not in agreement with His will, and I can't preach that tonight, I'll talk about that Friday night. But if you're not in agreement with His will, then I want you to understand that faith will not work. Faith does not work if you don't agree with God. Miracles are not a matter of chance. As a matter of fact, I hear people telling me this all the time. Well, good luck. I want to tell you what I tell them. I don't believe in luck. Luck is something that you do. Blessing is something that God does. I mean, where did we ever get that? Good luck. Did you ever tell someone, have a blessed day? Why would I say, have a blessed day? Because I ain't going to tell them good luck. Why? I don't believe in luck. What about this? We say, well, you're just happy-go-lucky. Well, why don't you just tell them, you're just happy-go-blessed. Good blessed. No, we want to hang on to the heathen ways of the world and say, good luck. If I'm getting on somebody tonight, it's not intentional. So you take it up with the Lord. So what do you believe about healing? What do you really believe about healing? I want to show you. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 in your notes, verse 34. Now let me explain this before we go there. This GWT stands for the God's Word Translation. I like God's Word, and I like the God's Word Translation. But let me tell you something. Even the original King James from that was put into the English language in 1611 is a translation of the original. Okay? I want us to understand that unless you were there with the disciples and the Old Testament prophets and actually wrote it down, everything after that's a translation. And so the God's Word translation obviously is a translation. But notice what it says in Romans 8, verse 34. Who will condemn them? Christ has died. And more importantly, He was brought back to life. Christ has the highest position in heaven. Christ also intercedes for us. I want you to think about that. While Jesus is sitting on the throne for a couple of thousand years, think about that. We know that He rose from the dead and ascended into heaven almost 2,000 years ago. What's He been doing for all those years? Can I tell you what He's been doing? He's been interceding for the church. He has the highest position in heaven. Doesn't mean He's above the Father. It means His position is to intercede for the church. And Jesus is not only able, but willing to go before the Father for you to receive a miracle now here in this life. In heaven, Jesus prays for the church. Now, if you were to ask this question, what's Jesus praying for? I came tonight to tell you what Jesus is praying for. Jesus is praying for the same thing you're praying for. What have you been praying for? What have you been asking God for? Have you been asking it so you can gain it on some ill motive? Or have you been asking based on the Word of God? When I go to God, let me just say this. You ever had someone say this, and you probably heard this before. Someone will say, I want you to pray for me, but I have an unspoken request. Just agree with me. Do you know what my wife and I say? No. I can't agree with your unspoken request. Do you know why? I don't know what it is. A man came to a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he said, "Pastor, I want you to agree with me. I have an unspoken request. Don't want to tell you about it." And the pastor said, "I can't agree with you unless we come in agreement on the Word of God and agree for your situation." And the man told him, he said, "Okay, here's what I want. I want you to pray for my wife to die so I can marry this other gal over here." Could you imagine agreeing with someone on their unspoken request for something really dumb like that? And so when someone says to you, "I have an unspoken request," what is it? "Well, I don't want to tell you." Then I can't agree with you. Why? Because I don't know what it is. That's very important. I just needed to throw that in. Jesus intercedes. So what is he interceding for? When we pray for healing, oftentimes we will use Isaiah 53:5. Also, we will use 1 Peter 2:24 that says, "By whose stripes you were," past tense, "healed at the cross." By whose stripes you were healed. And we actually pray Mark 11:24 and say, "What things soever you believe," when you pray, "believe you receive them. Believe you receive them when you pray. Believe you receive them and you'll have them." Do you know why people don't receive miracles from God? Because they don't believe they receive them right then and there based on what the Word of God says. Isn't that right? Let's move on down to Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. What is Jesus asking for? Well, I already told you he's asking for the same thing you are. But let's see how it works. In Matthew 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you." Do you know why that don't work? You don't believe it. If you don't believe that when you ask God, "Father, can I have that?" How many ever went to a candy store with Dad or Mom and said, "Could I just have one piece over there, Dad?" That's not a hard thing. Do you know when you come before your Father and say, "Father, do you know what your Word says?" Like you don't. "Here's what your Word says, Father. Can I have this?" How many know it's already been given to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the broken body of Jesus? But he says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to know him, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." How much more simple can it be? Anybody ever needed 10 bucks before? I mean, 10 bucks doesn't seem like a hard thing. But when you don't have 10 bucks, 10 bucks is a lot of money. I mean, "Lord, I don't need 10 bucks." Now, God always wants you to stretch your faith and ask beyond that. "It's 10 bucks, Lord. Your Word says you supply all my need. Right now I have a need for 10 bucks. Father, I believe based on your Word, and I thank you and I receive it now in Jesus' name." You say, "But where's the money?" Well, that's His department. Your department is to believe. How many understand what I'm saying tonight? Some Christians do not ask simply because they say, "Well, hey, everything will be okay." Matter of fact, I know some people that every time you see them and something goes wrong, they say, "It'll be okay." Well, what do you base that on? "It'll be okay." What do you base that on? Where's that in the Word of God? "It'll be okay" just because you assume it will be okay. We need to put our faith into action and believe God's Word. How many know saying "everything will be okay"? That's kind of like Russian roulette. At some point in time, you're going to lose. But with faith, you can't lose. Let me show you why. Look at in your notes there at James 4, verse 3. I already quoted Mark 11:24. Look at James 4, verse 3. It says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." In other words, prayers misfire when you do not aim them accurately. See, I'm a person that believes if you're going to pray, you ought to pray the Word. I mean, let me just say this. If you're going to shoot a gun, you ought to put bullets in it. Isn't that right? How many know the gun will not work accurate unless you just whack somebody with it? And I've seen people go after people with their Bible. But if you don't put bullets in the gun and aim it accurately, you will not hit the target. Isn't that right? And so the truth is, you need to take the Word of God, you need to go a whole list of scriptures and begin to declare them when you pray and say what the Word says. Notice below that is the literal translation. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order that you may spend it on your lust. Now, what this means is that people want it, but don't take time to pray and believe it. I want it, God, but you know what, Lord? I don't have time to pray. I want it, God, but I don't know where that is in the Bible. You know, I was complaining one time to the Lord. Yes, many years ago, I was complaining to the Lord about 35 years ago. I had come across some revelation in the Bible, and I thought, wow, that's cool. But I also got upset at my first pastor because he never told me that. You ever got mad at somebody because they didn't teach you something, and finally you got this revelation? It's like, wow, why didn't they tell me? You know what I said to the Lord? I said, why didn't my pastor preach this stuff? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, you had a Bible, didn't you?
Hello.
How many know it's not the preacher's fault if you don't get in the Word? How many know it's not the preacher's fault whether past or present? It is your fault if you don't get in the Scriptures. Learn what the Bible says and learn to aim it accurately when you pray. Praise the Lord. Anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? Now, the true nature of your flesh. How many's got flesh? Don't pinch your neighbor, but we've all got flesh. The true nature of flesh is that people want what they want. You know what a lot of people do? They get a house, got a bunch of rooms in it, and they'll have one spare room. That's the room for our junk. We don't want nobody to go in that room and see our junk. That's the place. I'll call it stuff. That's a place for our stuff. That's our stuff room. We go buy something because we gotta have it. Got it home and found out we really didn't need it, so we put it in the stuff room.
Come on now.
How many know you could have a yard sale and get rid of the stuff and put some dollars in your pocket, amen, and tithe? Hallelujah. Sometimes God is used as a means of getting what we want when we want it without any responsibility to aim our faith. What I'm telling you tonight, church, is a mature word. We need to get the Bible and aim our faith accurately. Your faith is the gun and the Word is the bullets that shoot out of it. We need to aim our faith accurately. Hang with me. I'm almost finished. Pastor Jack Myers said this. He said, God tells us through His Word what He has done. We have to open our mouths in agreement with Him and get it done in our lives. So again, remember, faith is the breeding ground for miracles. And faith is determined by the way we express what we believe in our heart and then say it with our mouth. So if I were to ask you tonight, what do you believe in your heart? Would you know? And if you do know, why aren't you saying it? Well, you know, I have faith in my heart and that's all I need. No, that's just half of it. The Bible says in Romans 10:10 that if you believe it in your heart, then you got to say it with your mouth. I know that was a salvation principle, but salvation there means in the Greek in all areas of your life. And so the reality is you got to believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. How many ever said this when you got in your car? That stupid thing, it'll never run. What did you do? You believed in your heart, even though you came to church and said a whole lot of good spiritual, biblical words, you didn't believe the car was going to run in the first place. You know what I do? I drive a 2001 Chevy Blazer. It doesn't look all that great. And sometimes it don't want to run all that great. And when I get in, I rub the dash and I say, you're such a blessed vehicle. People say, I would never talk to inanimate objects. Well, let me ask you, the last time you kicked the dryer because it didn't work right and called it stupid? Well, when's the last time you threw something down on the ground like your cell phone because it didn't work right and you called it a name? Don't tell me you don't believe in speaking to inanimate objects. You ought to call that inanimate object blessed. I told you the story about the lawnmower, the riding mower that someone ran out of oil. I mean, the thing was smoking and the motor froze up. Now, you know what most people would do is take the motor off, throw it in the junk pile, go buy another motor and get going again. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I anointed that thing and I prayed for it every day, almost every day for like 3 months. And I would get a hold of that rope and I'd pull it and it just wouldn't go. And I filled it with oil and I just kept praying. See, I didn't just use a little bit of oil, a dab. I just filled the whole thing with oil. You know, a couple of quarts. And I just kept pulling. And I'd say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to unseize the word. And I think that was a good object lesson that God taught me. About 3 months, every time I pulled that rope, it would not let go. But one day, all of a sudden, I pulled and that rope moved and that engine started right up. And we had it till we traded it off for something else. People give up on things. How about your car? When you said the battery's so dead, it'll never run. Did you lay hands on it? Did you pray? Or did you get mad and kick the tire and kick the door and slam the thing and just take off walking down the road? Why don't you get in faith and believe God? What about when you went to your checkbook and the balance said zero? Throw the thing across the room and say a couple of choice words and why don't you just lay hands on that thing in the name of Jesus? I command you to be full. Do you know there was a time that my wife and I, this has been many, many, many years ago, probably about 35 years ago, we were absolutely 100% out of groceries. We didn't have anything. The cabinets were empty. The refrigerator was empty. You know what my wife did? She commanded the devil to get out of our house, lack. And she opened the refrigerator door and the cabinet doors and commanded them to be full. It wasn't just a few days and somebody pulled up to our house with a car load of groceries. The back window, the seat, the floorboard, the trunk, the front seat. And when we got done, you know what? Our cabinets and our refrigerator was full. Why? Because somebody decided to take an act of faith and do something. Now let me show you something that's even a little more ridiculous to you than that. Can you bring me a folding chair, please? Be patient with me because I'm teaching somebody how to get a miracle tonight. She's already embarrassed. She's laughing at me, but I'm going to show you what we did. Just one folding chair. We didn't have a car. My wife, two kids in grade school. Thank you very much. And so I said one day, you know what? We're going to believe God for a car. And so we set up four chairs, two for the front seat, two for the back seat, right in the living room of our house. And I said, all right, let's get in. And we started our car, and we're going down the road saying, hi, how you doing? God bless you. And we're just singing and praising God. You say, well, that's really foolish, Pastor. We were in a church service not very long, probably a week or two after that, and a man walked up to us and said, I've got a car I want to give you. Here's the title. I'm signing it over to you. The Bible says he takes the foolish things. How many knows that God takes the foolish things to confound the wise? I'm telling you, it works. Pray for your vehicle. Pray for your washer and dryer. Well, Pastor, what if it just don't work and I got to replace it? Then pray for God to give you the finances to replace it. But use your faith. I'm talking about faith for miracles. You say, well, I don't really want a miracle that bad. That sounds like a lot of work. It's not hard work. Just get your faith out. Get your creativity out and believe God for the unusual and watch God do the supernatural. Praise the Lord. How many's getting this tonight? All right, let's finish up. Let's go on down back to John 14, verse 13 and 14 at the bottom of your page. He said, and whatever you ask in my name... Oh, I can just hear Jesus speaking now. That I will do. Why is he going to do that for you? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And Jesus says, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. You might be saying right now, but how can I know what God's will is for me? Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the next car I'm going to drive. I don't know the next house I'm going to drive. I might put it in the living room and drive it. The next house I'm going to live in. There's a lot of things I don't know, but there's a whole lot of things I do know. Like I do know that next year, toward the end of October or November, that I'm planning to go to Africa. Next month on the 29th, the next Friday, I know that I'll be online again preaching by camera to Pakistan. There are some things I do know, and I know it's the will of God for me to do. I know it's the will of God for me to be a help. I know it's the will of God for me to serve others. You ought to know it's the will of God for you to serve others, especially our Bible college students. Amen? But what I do know is in the process of that, sometimes some stuff goes wrong. Can I tell you this? We don't have a finance manager here. I did years ago. I'll never have another finance manager that all they do is complain about how much money there isn't there. If I don't have a finance manager that's not in faith, laying hands on the finances, believing God for more, then I don't want a finance manager. I'll never have an associate pastor that goes behind my back talking about me and putting down the church. I fire them in a heartbeat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. We're going to be in harmony, be in agreement, be in one accord, or not at all. But I do know this. Most people don't know the stuff that goes on in the inner workings of a ministry. When my wife and her here and I are here in our respective offices and we're online and we're doing financial stuff and we're trying to plan for the future. Okay, God said do this. Don't know how we're going to do it. I mean, it's like going on video by live streaming our services. Like people would look at this little church and say, what's the point? I only got one point. God said. Did God tell you to go from point A to point B? Then what's the problem? When Jesus said to the disciples, let us cross to the other side, everybody got in the boat. Wow, this is going to be a great ride. That's what happens when churches are formed. People say, well, that's going to be a great ride. It's going to be so much fun. And soon as trouble comes, the storm came. And the disciples woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Now, who told them they were going to die? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't God. It was Satan. Satan got involved when they saw the storm and they became fearful for their lives. But what happened, what they should have done was went back to the first word spoken and God said, let us cross to the other side. That's the only words you need sometimes. God said, do it. I can tell you there will be times when it'll look like it's not going to work. But what did God say? Is anybody hearing me tonight? What did God tell you? And if God said it'll work, don't you know it's going to work? Why? Because you don't have it figured out? No, because God said so. John 16, verse 27, last verse for tonight. For the Father Himself loves you. I want you all to hear this. For the Father Himself loves you. Do you know the church still hasn't got it that God loves them? And so we don't tell the world God loves them. We just tell, man, you're going to hell in a handbasket. You either turn or you're going to burn. You say, well, that's called evangelism. No, that's not called evangelism. That's called sarcasm. Right. Why is that? They already know they're going to hell. What they need to know is for somebody to say, God loves you. Right. God loves me. Yes, God loves you. You talk about seeing somebody break and say, I need to know this Jesus that you're living for. Why? Because you didn't say, man, you're going to hell. God loves you. He cares about you. That's what Jesus did. He went around demonstrating the Father's love. Did you hear what this said? He said, the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. That's why He wants you to believe for miracles. It simply takes faith. And God has given faith to everyone. Isn't that right? I'm going to preach a little more about that next week and this Friday. Faith is a matter of what you are willing to do with it. Do you believe God? I'm going to ask you again, do you believe God tonight? What you have asked God for, do you believe it's as good as done? Do you ever had this say before, I'm believing God for this? Why are you believing God for that? Don't you believe it's already yours? I'm not going to go there tonight. I'm not going to go there tonight. We'll get that another time. But you're believing God for something like you really don't believe it belongs to you. Jesus gave us all things according to 2 Peter that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of His Son, Jesus, the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord.